My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. The second half of the show is with Ian Tustinson, the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association, and Kelly Gordon, the president and partner of Extra Mile Hospitality, the owner of three very successful Roamers locations in Vancouver. We're going to be talking about how the restaurant business has managed to survive, or if they have survived, the 2 years of lockdown and COVID, and what we can be doing as clients, as guests of those restaurants, to ensure that they'll be around for years to come. It's an engaging conversation, that, and the subject will change at the drop of a question. So do join us for the second half of the show with Ian and Kelly. We start the show with Treve Ring hosting a Prosecco tasting at the Oak Bay Hotel in the David Foster Foundation room, which of course had a stage in it. If you follow wine at all, you'll know the name Treve Ring. She's a writer, many magazines, online. She's an editor, sommelier, a speaker, a wine judge, is very much a key member of the Wine Align team, the wonderful wine anorak, Gizmondi on wine. If you're having a wine competition, you want Treve Ring to be in on the tasting so you get it right and you have credibility. When she's in Canada, she lives in Victoria, but she travels the year round. She tastes all over the world and sometimes isn't home for a month because she just goes from destination to destination. And she's the perfect person to host this tasting because these eight wineries in Italy, for the most part, do not have representation. Who better to speak on your behalf than Treve Ring? Now, this was very special, really special. There is a region in the north of Italy, very within sight of the Alps. It's so famous and special. It's a World Heritage Site. It's called Colleliano, Val di Biadne. And it's famous for the home of Prosecco, where it all started. Some of the vines are incredibly old. A very difficult growing conditions as they work their way up the side of hills, through gullies and around rocks and hazards, as it were. It's really tough farming. But the reason why they're there is simply because the Prosecco grape, the Glera, grows exceptionally well there. And the best Proseccos in the world can be found from that region. Now, we have eight Proseccos that we're going to taste at this tasting. None of them are available in Canada, but they can be if we can start a buzz about these eight wines and all of their next-door neighbors. On our website, with the help of Corey Wood, we have listed the eight wines that we are tasting in order so that you can make a note, make a list, go back and reference it when you see the Prosecco section of your store. And let's all find out more about Prosecco, what we thought was Prosecco. When you taste the real deal, your little eyes will roll up into the back of your head. It's fantastic. We welcome, for I believe the very first time, Treve Ring to Tasting Room Radio. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a heads up on the winter hours at Moon Cursor, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday to April the 13th. During the 2021 winter season, they offer two tasting experiences by appointment, guided wine tasting, and a private winemaker tour and tasting. Moon Cursor, the 2019 Wine Align Best Small Winery in Canada, will reopen in April of this year. All the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and my guest is Treve Ring. And I started to write down, I ran out of ink in the pen writing down credits, but I did get as far as writer, editor, wine judge, speaker, Wine Align, wonderful connection, wine anorak, Gizmondi on wine, traveler, sommelier, and self-described geek. Is there more?
No, I think you got it. Emphasis on the geek part.
Geek from day one kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I've always been interested in wine. I started off as a food writer more than 20 years ago, and I was much more interested in what was in the glass than what was on the plate, so quickly turned that around, and wine ever since.
Did this come from family or just out?
No, not at all, just curiosity. I love travel, so it was an easy find.
There was no course in school, was there?
No course in school, but as soon as I found an interest in wine in my early 20s, I started taking wine classes, and my very first wine teacher was Mark Davidson.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I was really lucky, so I got taught by the best pretty early.
Was the first wine Australian?
You know, I don't think so. I think it was Riesling, and that kind of all kicked it all off. I mean, Riesling is pretty easy to fall in love with.
How long did it take you to discover, Prosecco?
Well, I mean, we would have had it in very first Wine 101 class, and it's so easy to like, right? When you're learning about wine, you have known nothing. It's like, oh, sparkling wine, and it's this approachable and this easy, and yeah, I like this.
I was thinking about its place in the world of wine, because that's what we're dealing with here. We've got eight wines to taste, but its place, because, first of all, bubble has had a wonderful resurgence. Champagne leading the charge. However, if I'm not mistaken, Prosecco is a very close second, if not a first most popular bubble being consumed today. We just got to wonder who's Prosecco.
That's a very good point. I mean, for the Prosecco rise has been astronomic around the world, as we know. And everyone from new wine geeks like me 20 years ago to, you know, ladies who lunch to people on picnics. But I mean, Prosecco is a wine that people know the name of. It's relatively affordable. It's easy to find. It's charming and friendly. It's, you know, very easy to enjoy. The challenge is, and you know, that's why I was here today, is to talk about the next level of Prosecco, like serious Prosecco. And a lot of people think all Prosecco is the same, not realizing that there's a pyramid of Prosecco, and you, as you climb, you are rewarded.
It's interesting. It's an interesting point you make, because it has done extremely well. It's the sales, extremely popular. But we know almost nothing of the internal structure of what of Italy and Prosecco and what goes into that bottle. We see knockoffs. They can't quite pull it off, and they don't even come close in some cases. But you just took us through eight Proseccos that we would die to have on our table. They're not available yet. And that's the question I asked you at the end. Why these eight? Are they representing all Proseccos?
Right. So, I mean, you can go to any store, any bottle shop, and buy a bottle of Prosecco, DOC Prosecco. And the wines we were showing today are from a very small region, you know, the heartland of Prosecco, between Conegliano and Valdobbiadene, and they're Prosecco Superiore DOCG. So out of all of the Proseccos, the ocean of Proseccos that are produced in the world, that people are familiar with, there's just a small pinnacle at the very top from the heartland of Prosecco. And these have much more stringent rules, much more, you know, lower yields, higher level of attention, higher level of farming and care. And these are the wines we're showing today. So they're not on our market because they were shipped over from Italy just for us.
Will we, if we make enough fuss, will we see them?
We are seeing more and more Conegliano, Valdobbiadene, Prosecco Superiore, DOCG, the top of the pyramid on this market, just not in abundance because, a few different reasons. Most people don't know what the difference is between paying more for this type of Prosecco versus paying, you know, less for a lower grade of Prosecco, a lower category. So it's up to, you know, the people in the room, the agents, the sommeliers, the wine geeks like you and me to spread the word.
Were they not interested in North America or at least this part of the world? Were they wined and dined, for example, in the UK, and there was really no need to pay attention to us? And why now? Why are they starting to show this interest now?
Well, I think because, you know, out of all of the, say, out of every 100 bottles of Prosecco sold around the world, only 16 of them are of this DOCG status. So it's a small amount to begin with. So it doesn't reach everywhere. And if agents are just trying to bring in the lowest common denominator for their markets, they're just going to go with regular Prosecco. And if consumers don't know the difference, they're not going to ask for anything more. So it's kind of a two-way street. We need agents to bring in these wines. We need, you know, Italy and Prosecco to be interested in shipping them to us and having Canada as a market, but we also need the consumers to ask for them. to realize there's more out there.
You know how easy it is to put Prosecco on a shelf, because it can be done. The tricky part with these eight and the rest that may follow is that, first of all, the labels are a little tough to read or pronounce, as I'll show you later, but also the expense, you have to convince people to think beyond the label and think about what's in the bottle and where they came from. And more importantly, as you see now in the Okanagan, we're talking about plots of land now. Now we're getting specific. These plots of land have been in play since the 1800s.
Yeah, absolutely. And viticulture has existed in these hills in Conegliano Val di Biadene for thousands of years. I mean, these are ancient plots. And when you see the photos and you see how steep these are, like, there's no way even a human can regularly walk up there. You know, they have to transport grapes in baskets on trolleys. It's so steep, up to 70% grade, which is pretty extreme. There was a stat that I mentioned that I thought just fascinating. For every Prosecco from Conegliano Val di Biadene, the steep DOCG region, it takes about 600 hours to farm over a year, whereas on the flats, it's about 150 hours. So
there's 3,000 growers, but I noticed the line that went by, heroic type of viticulture.
Heroic viticulture, that's what they call it. Because, I mean, you can imagine, you're at the top of these very, very steep hills. You slip.
No horses, no tractors.
No way, absolutely. Barely humans. So,
but perfect.
Oh, I mean, for handcrafted wines, this is exactly what this is all about.
You poured today extra brut, extra dry, and dry. We may not see all of them on a shelf gathered, but just take us through those four.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, when people think of traditional Prosecco, it often has, you know, a little bit of sweetness to it. That has been the tradition since the beginning. Now we're seeing a lot more drier styles on the market, just like everyone is losing sugar in their wines. And, you know, it's a little bit confusing because the driest style is actually called extra brut. And that's, you know, from 0 to 6 grams per liter of residual sugar. Then you come up to 0 to 12 grams and you have brut, and people are used to hearing about brut. And then we even move up the scale a little bit to extra dry, which actually has more amount of residual sugar. And that's the traditional Prosecco that you think of, that's, you know, off dry, beautiful aromas of pear and peach, florals. And then we finish today with the dry style, which is actually has the most amount of residual sugar. So you can imagine, they're Italian. Everything is a little bit convoluted. It's completely backwards. When you see dry on a label of Prosecco or any sparkling wine around the world, it actually has a lot of residual sugar to it. If you want something that is really dry with a low amount of sugar, you want to look for extra brut. Extra brut, brut, bruto, bruto. It is dry and severe, extra brut.
Our guest is the absolutely fabulous Treve Ring, writer, educator, sommelier, and world-class wine judge. We are here to discover the truly incredible epicenter of Prosecco wines in a pocket of the world called Conegliano Val di Biadene. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Just a heads up on the winter hours at Moon Cursor, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday to April the 13th. During the 2021 winter season, they offer two tasting experiences by appointment, guided wine tasting, and a private winemaker tour and tasting. Moon Cursor, the 2019 Wine Aligned Best Small Winery in Canada, will reopen in April of this year. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Pleased to announce that Tasting Room hours will continue starting April the 6th. The wine shop hours are daily, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery will also open on April the 6th. Spring hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 to 9 p.m. with indoor and outdoor dinner service. And takeout available from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back, Tasting Room Radio. Terry David Mulligan, Treve Ring. It's Treve Ring. She didn't have to fly anywhere. She didn't even have to take a ferry. She's in Oak Bay, just mere steps from her place in Victoria. You have we're constantly flying and going to tastings and doing stories. How did you handle the 2 years of lockdown?
Oh, that's a good question. Thank goodness for wine, Terry. I mean, it was very challenging not to fly. I mean, I used to fly more than half the year. I was on the road and mostly internationally. So when everything shut down, I mean, I was in Europe in March 2020 and everything was shutting pretty quick. So I came back. And since then, I've been fortunate that I've been able to still taste, albeit from the Treve House here in Victoria. So I do a lot of my tastings. I get a lot of wines in. Been tasting every day, which is great. I've logged a lot of tasting notes, and I'm anxious to get back out on the road.
I want to talk about these 8 wines that you poured today. First of all, we need your pronunciation because it can't be mine. It has to be yours. But tell us about the region, and then we'll go to the wines.
Absolutely. So the wines we are pouring today are from the heartland of Prosecco. The traditional place where Prosecco was born, in the hills of Conegliano Valdobbiadene, and it's Prosecco Superiore DOCG.
Close to Verona?
Very close to Verona, yep, close to the Alps, perfectly situated in northwest Italy, beautiful area for viticulture.
Is it cool climate?
It is cool climate, especially in the hills. Yeah. I mean, all of these vineyards in Conegliano Valdobbiadene are running east-west, and they're all aspect facing the south. So they're getting the afternoon sun to keep them warm and to keep the grapes producing.
What kind of winter do they have to help?
You know, the winter isn't too bad. I mean, I have been there in December. There was a little bit of snow on the ground. Things are pretty gray, but it's nothing like, you know, Canadian winters for sure. And it's nothing like being in the Alps. We're still in the foothills.
Do you have a favorite of that list?
A favorite of the wines that we tasted today?
I have two. I just want
to... Oh, okay. I was really impressed by the second wine we tasted, the Conte Calado Ponte Rosso Non-Vintage Conegliano Valdobbiadene Prosecco Superiore DOCG. Extra Brut. As we know, most Prosecco in the world has a good, you know, a fair amount of residual sugar, giving it an off-dry persona. This particular wine only had 2 grams per liter of residual sugar, definitely very much in the extra brut category, and it was really nice to taste this serious wine without having a cloak of residual sugar. And it, interestingly, had 15%, up to 15% other grapes in addition to Galera. It had Bianchetta and Valdezio. So that adds just a little something, a different perfume, something different to the mix.
Okay, the nose on 4.
Yes, Perlage.
The nose.
So good. What a fantastic family as well. The Nardi brothers, there's 7 of them, and they are the region's first certified organic winery in all of Prosecco. They work really hard, fantastic family, beautiful farming, very precision agriculture. And that I thought that wine, their Canna bottling, the non-vintage, was showing beautifully today.
So if it's, in fact, this Glera grape, 100%, I don't think it was a blend.
No, that one was 100%.
100%.
Right.
How? Is it the terroir? Is it the soil? Is it the way they handle it?
You know, there's a lot of different things that go into it. The soil, the aspect, the altitude. They're farming at, you know, quite a lot of altitude. Galera is autochthonous to the region, so it's been growing there for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And as such, different Galera has... mutated over the years. There's lots of different, not particularly clones, but different variations of Galera. And it's been really cool to see, I mean, most of the wines we tasted today were 100% Galera, save for that Conte Calato that we just talked about.
I wrote good funky. I wrote funky, and then I wrote good funky. It's very funky.
No, I love bad funky, so good
I
funky
love
is
that.
Good.
And number 6 was, I just loved Bianca.
Yeah, so that is a special wine. It's a Riva, so that means it's from a single vineyard, the Bianca Vigna Riva di Collato 2020. So extra dry. Yeah. So as we talked about, you know, means more residual sugar. It's the opposite of what it's saying.
Can be sweetened, a sweetener.
It can even go sweeter than extra dry to dry. But that wine was showing beautifully, again, from a single vineyard. That Riva di Collato is a very, very warm Riva, single vineyard within Prosecco. And I thought the wine showed really well. Even though it had, you know, a good deal of residual sugar, the acidity was there to totally match.
Treve, tell me about number 1, La Fara.
Oh, La Fara. So a beautiful producer. Again, this was a Riva, so a single vineyard farm. La Fara is a family operator. They want to produce like in the highest parts of the Appalachians. So they're reaching for altitude. So their wines are always so fresh and lively and vibrant.
The set rules, the book of rules for this area must be pretty tough. Can they mess with the blend a bit, or is it all traditional?
They can mess with it a little bit. I mean, it's all based on the Galera grape, the one that's been growing there for forever. But they can have up to 15% of these other indigenous grapes, as well as the Pinots. So you can invite in Pinot Bianco, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Nero into the blend. And if you're making a sparkling wine, because yes, there are some still wines made in Prosecco, but if you're making a sparkling wine, you also can include Chardonnay and Chardonnay. Sorry.
Have we talked about the Belinda San Fermo?
We haven't. Belinda is a fairly new winery. I mean, new-ish. They've been around for more than 20 years, but husband-wife team, and now it's their children as well. The San Fermo 2021. Con Liago Valbiadne. I thought that one was one of the most, had the most typicity for Prosecco. You know, if you get it on a blind tasting exam, you're like, ah, this is Prosecco. So well balanced, so perfumed, just classic, classic Prosecco.
I've heard this conversation about, well, Prosecco is not champagne. Well, that's right. And champagne is not Prosecco. I think the point was being made that it doesn't have to be paired. It can stand alone on its own, Prosecco. So let's deal that as a two-part question. Does it do well standing alone? And when you do pair, what's the local food like where these wines are being made? Maybe that tells us.
Excellent questions. I mean, I think these wines stand alone for sure as a beautiful aperitif, especially the ones that have a little bit more residual sugar. Maybe they're not as easy to pair with everyday food here on the West Coast. One type of food that I really love, and not from the region in Northwest Italy, but these are beautiful wines to have with Thai food or Vietnamese food. When you're thinking about the fragrant, beautiful fragrant flavors and aromas of those cuisines, and you want something, you know, that has some acid to carry, you know, and refresh the palate, these wines are so perfect with those sorts of foods.
It's got to have some structure, because Thai food can completely take over your mouth.
So much. And you saw today, like, even the wines that had, you know, some considerable residual sugar, like 15 degrees, 18 degrees, they had so much acidity.
Isn't Veneto the home of ham?
There's a lot of gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous ham and jamon and everything in that region. Again, those sort of things, when you think of, like, you know, prosciutto and melon, you've got the salty, you've got the sweet. Yeah. What do you want to have with that? Maybe something that has some sweetness and some acidity. Like, these are just natural. What grows together goes together.
We may have shortchanged 7 and 8 here. Let's do the last two on the list.
Sure, absolutely. So the Cantina Bernardi Terre de Rue from a small spot. Interesting that it's an extra dry. So again, more residual sugar, but still a lot of great acid. 2021, so still young and fresh. These are wines that when people see, you know, extra dry, or they think of maybe Prosecco is going to be too sweet. No, you have to try these very serious examples, the DOCG, the top of the pyramid, to see how these artisans are handling the style. And of course, the last one we had, the Riccardo Non-Vintage Conegliano Valbiadene. Gorgeous, a dry example. So the most residual sugar of any of the ones we had. But if you were having, again, a fruit plate, or you were having a light dessert, and you want something lighter to pair with it, especially a fruit dessert, these are the wines that you want to have at the table.
Val di Ovo, Zerinove, 2021. I wrote balanced because it just had it, the nose, the palate, it had balance. Somebody had taken the time to make this balanced.
I agree. And it was a Brut, so the sugar and the acid was well in check, as you mentioned. Very small producer. I mean, as we talked about, the average holding in this DOCG of Conegliano Valbiadene is only 2.5 hectares.
Sure.
Like, people are really invested in their vineyards. It's not like some big giant operations. It's not some tank farms like in other sparkling wine regions around the world. This is handcrafted viticulture and from a very sustainably farmed region.
I wrote these notes. Primary and secondary fragrances, fruity, floral aromas, sustainability, organics, hogback, and patchwork.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2019, this region was granted UNESCO heritage status for a wine region because of the it's so different than any other wine region by topography and also by the, you know, the small little patchwork of families.
And history.
And history, for sure. So these hogbacks, these like long east-west vineyard rows that are getting the afternoon sun, that is very unique to this area. Mm. And all of these steep vineyards, they need to be terraced. But unlike the Douro Valley or the Moselle, where you have terraces made out of stone, these are all terraces of grass called Siglione. Yeah. And that is very unique to this area. It helps protect protect against erosion. You know, you don't want all that dirt rolling down the hill. But it has been practiced in this area since the 16th century.
Cellaring.
So unlike typical DOC, DOC Prosecco, these are more long, livid wines. That said, they are meant to be consumed, you know, when they're relatively young. These aren't champagnes or traditional method wines that you're laying down for a decade or more.
You know, cellaring here in Vancouver Island, British Columbia, and Canada is the drive from the store to the house.
And that's your aging period. Yeah. And then you crack it. It's very true. We don't have that sort of history, and we don't really have a lot of space. You know, our typical houses here, condos, they're tiny.
But will we appreciate what we have rolling around in the back seat?
Well, I hope so. And I hope that when you understand, you know, the man hours and the steepness of the terrain and the history of a region like this, you realize why it's not just any old sparkling wine. This is, you know, there's only one small region in the world that can be Conegliano.
If these wines were to show up here, that's a two-part question. Can they show up if we show an interest? And B, what would the average price point be?
Oh, great question. There are some DOCGs on this market now. Yeah. They're rare, but they are definitely some that you can buy. Hopefully more are coming when more people like us spread the word about these amazing wines. It'll take the agents to bring them in. Yeah. But if, say, the average bottle of DOC Prosecco, regular Prosecco, is, what, $20 on this market, maybe $15 to $20, these are going to be coming in more like $25. So when you think about 600 man-hours per year per wine in steep, heroic viticulture,
exactly,
and, you know,
yes,
ancient grapes and yes, all these soils, that's not so bad.
You took the words right out of my mouth. What's going to keep you busy this year? What do you think?
Well, I've already booked Europe for next month, so I'm heading back over for my first time in 2 years.
And we get a Vancouver International Wine Festival.
You know, I will be in Germany at that time because it's the same week as Provine.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I'm going to be missing Van Wine Fest for the first time in a long time.
And you miss Top Drop.
And I'm going to miss Top Drop as well.
Okay, fine, but that's the choice you make. How do people find you? How do they follow you?
I'm available on social media pretty easy. There's not that many Treve rings out in the world, so as long as you get the spelling right, pretty easy to find.
We'll give them the spelling as well. Thank you very much. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Terry. Good to see you as always.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Pleased to announce that Tasting Room hours will continue starting April the 6th. The wine shop hours are daily, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery will also open on April the 6th. Spring hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 to 9 p.m. with indoor and outdoor dinner service. And takeout available from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Kelowna home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59 Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post, the only brewery and smokery parlor on the West. You can find all the details at jpcfanclub.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. My thanks to Treve Ring for taking us through the historic, hallowed wineries and vineyards of the Prosecco region of Italy in Colliano, Valdabbiadene. Available only in Italy, currently trying to get them into this country. Are you listening, gentlemen? Fabulous Proseccos. the kind that you've forgotten are made in this world. And so to finish off this edition of Tasting Room Radio, we're going to bring it home and make it local. Because, as you well know, we've been talking about for the last couple of years, the restaurants in this country, in this province, in your hometown, have been severely challenged. Some have gone under. And I thought we'd have a conversation with Ian Tostison, the president and CEO of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association, and Kelly Gordon, the president and partner of Extra Mile Hospitality, better known as Roamers, three locations. And I just wanted to get a sense, guys, in this two-parter, of current conditions, state of the union, state of the front of house. And then in the second half, we're going to talk about what we can do to help. First of all, Ian, thank you for shaving.
Yeah, it feels good, Terry.
Let's start with the just state of the restaurant business currently, because we see press releases coming out quite a bit now from associations and individual restaurants. Ian, what's your take on it?
I had a call with a group of restaurants yesterday, actually, and he said to me, thank you very much. I said, for what? He goes, last Thursday was my birthday. And he said, and my business is so good. He said, that's when the restrictions, which was basically the restriction that we lost, was the capacity. Yeah. So now we're at full capacity. We can mingle in the restaurants. We've retained masks and we've retained vaccination cards, which we at this point believe that's the right thing to do for the next little while. Sure. Because we've had such trust with our guests in our restaurants. But I think, Terry, the worst is behind us, and the hard work now is to regain some profitability for this industry. I am so proud, and we've got Kelly Gordon here, who is, I relied on so much in the last 2 years. I think he's one of the foremost experts in this industry in British Columbia. And we were able to successfully guide this industry. We lost maybe 20% of the industry, about 3,000 restaurants, but we're also seeing a lot of investment back into the category. So when, leases are available and business ideas are coming back in. So if we stay open now and we can solve a few other issues, which we'll get into down the road, I think I'm feeling quite good about it.
We're also seeing some incredible creativity, and we'll talk about that in just a second. So Kelly, what tell me about your expertise.
When I sort of look back over the last 2+ years here, I'll always remember St. Patrick's Day as the day when it all went south. And, the revenue stopped coming in, but the bills didn't. None of us knew what was going to happen. Sure. And since that time, Terry, has been an absolute roller coaster. But, through it all, I think we're at, almost normalized sales at this time. And it's been a lot better in the suburban markets and the downtown urban markets because of working at home versus working in big towers. But what I think is the biggest difference right now is how the business is comprised. Is before the COVID scenario, only about 5 to 7% was takeout. Now it's 22% of our business, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the number ends up being the same, but it's comprised differently, which tells me there's a lot of people out there that are still a little bit nervous to come out and enjoy a restaurant experience or,
yes,
bar experience out there. So yeah, that's the real challenge as we get into the spring, is hopefully the patios launch us into some good revenue, and we convert those people back into long-term customers inside our full walls and keep that takeout revenue.
I had a friend, Corey Wood, went to Enrico in the Cowichan Valley, the winery, on the weekend. And I said, how was it? He said, it was jammed. Absolutely jammed. I said, did you feel safe? He said, well, we were off in a corner, but I did feel safe. I felt like we turned a corner. The room certainly felt like we turned a corner, and people were there to celebrate. And at the same time, my connection with the restaurant industry on a week-to-week basis is with my sponsors, Dean House and River Cafe in Calgary, who are two of the best restaurants in all of Alberta. And they were incredibly creative in how they got their food, how they did their take home. And the other sponsor is a small room called Coyotes in Banff, which is hugely popular, but they rely on the Americans coming over that border to experience what Banff is. And the streets were deserted. So everybody had to deal with a different level of front door, who's coming in, who isn't. How did we adjust, Ian, in terms of restaurants and just hospitality?
Well, Kelly nailed it on the whole takeout. I remember so many restaurants were scrambling because they didn't even have a takeout program. And the other problem that we had was that the three companies that were primarily the third party distributors were charging upwards of 30%.
Sure.
And so we could see, so we actually went to work with government and we had those fees capped to 20%, which has been hugely helpful. So guys like Kelly now can make some money and put some investment into to that sector. I remember Kelly saying to me at one point, our takeout is really a marketing expense. We don't think about it too much versus now it's become, you know, almost a third of his business. And then we forced the whole patio thing in British Columbia. And we're working that too. Dr. Henry said, you know, the best place to be is on a patio. That's going to be the next third component of the restaurant of the future. And then of course, the in-store dining experience, which is going to be health and safety first forever.
Sure.
So you're going to walk into a restaurant, you're going to have room to maneuver. You're going to see probably minimized menus, but you're going to see that your health and safety is foremost. We're not coming out of this psychologically, I don't think, for a while. That's why doing what Alberta did by dropping the vaccination card overnight was, in our opinion, is the wrong move. I think we should get rid of it in the next couple of months if numbers are looking good. But our culture in British Columbia has been very trusting, and the relationship that our industry has had with our guests is special. And I think that we have to work really hard to make sure that we don't interrupt that.
Kelly?
Well, the one thing I wanted to say, Terry, I mean, two things really got us through. It's the obviously the improvement in the takeout side, but this whole temporary patio situation where we got to have expanded seating on the outside, I think if all of us didn't have that, it would have been a real, real struggle, and we would have seen a few more people fall by the wayside. But you know, I think one of the great things now, Terry, is that in a notoriously fractured industry over the last gazillion years I've been involved in it, we are absolutely acting together as a group. And I think wherever we go down the road here, and Ian's done a phenomenal job of just, you know, putting his arms around a bunch of wild goats and putting us in a straight line. And I think, you know, whatever we have as challenges going forward, the group's got a lot of trust in the leadership of the BCFRA and also the relationship with government, which has been very direct line. I mean, Ian says, you know, heck, more than one minister, and I believe even the premier has picked up the phone to say hello and how's it going and all those sort of things along the way. So I do absolutely see a bright highway as we sort of get out of this over the next year or so.
So you described a goat rodeo.
I feel it was a goat rodeo. You know, that as well as I do, the crazy 70s, 80s, 90s, all that sort of thing. But now, I mean, we're all facing a common problem, and you have to band together.
Okay. Let's take a break here and gather our thoughts. And then when we come back to close this edition of Tasting Room Radio, let's talk about what we, the consumer, can do, how we can help going forward, okay? Because I know you want to talk about that. We'll be back with Kelly Gordon from Romers and Ian Tostison from the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association right after this. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Kelowna home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59 Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post, the only brewery and smokery parlor on the West. You can find all the details at jpcfanclub.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info on the winter hours at Unsworth. The tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the restaurant is open from Thursday to Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. Sunday from noon to 4. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Welcome back. Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. The very clean and neat Ian Tostison, President, CEO of BC Restaurant and Food Services Association, the mighty BCRFA.com, and Kelly Gordon, Extra Mile Hospitality, Romer, three locations. I want to finish off this discussion, and I thank you for doing this, with how restaurants adjusted. For example, I was saying one of my sponsors was Dean House in Calgary. Like, it's a very upscale, beautiful heritage building hauled across the ice 100 years ago. And but they had a circular driveway. They had an in and an out. And so they did a serious if you phoned in your item that you wanted to take home and either reheat or cook in home, this was upscale. You had to have it in by Wednesday afternoon, but Friday you could just hit the driveway and they would load up your car, put the trunk in. You didn't have to touch it, whatever. It was all paid for and done, and off you went. And so everybody adjusted accordingly. I mean, how create, for example, roamers. You don't have a lot of wiggle room in your parking down there with all of those 15,000 people who now moved into the neighborhood.
Not at all. How did you handle that? The number one thing, Terry, is you've got to move your business outside, make it accessible, because with all the takeout that's been coming in and everybody trying to also get in the restaurant, it was a lot of people in a very small area. Yeah. So being able to separate that takeout pickup area, I think, is pretty important for a lot of the restaurants out there. And again, just going back to the patio and making, the one thing I know about people in Canada is, as long as they're not getting rained on, they're happy to sit outside.
Sure they are. They'll go in skiddy suits. And, yeah.
It was crazy. But even in January, it was -8 or the other day. And my dog patio, I have a separate patio that just for, I call it puppy patio. And they're all the owners with the dogs got their sweaters on and the owners got their toques on, having a Romer's burger and a beer. And I just had to giggle. It was so funny.
That's the first mention of beer. Listen, Ian, how much did it help to be able to take the wine home with you and the beers and things?
Yeah, you know, that we've been working that for 200 years to get that. And we were working for about 300 years to get wholesale liquor pricing for restaurants.
Yeah.
And that was one of the charm. I take my hat off to this provincial government. We got wholesale liquor pricing in about a month.
Yeah.
And we were able to get the approval to sell off sales alcohol with takeout in about 24 hours because they could see that was so important. And then the next stage was to make sure that those two things stayed. The government came back and said, for sure, we're going to keep that forever.
Are they gonna stay? Okay.
That was really important. Okay. And I think that's driven a lot of innovation. So you see, you know, a lot of restaurants have done great cocktails and cocktail kits and all sorts of innovation around alcohol. And I think there's Kelly's right. There's a market that's going to say, you know what, I'm not going out. I'm going to stay at home because I can get all this well-packaged food, tasty food, and my cocktail kits and great wine lists in my home.
Cool.
Yeah, there's no question, Terry. The ability to package what in our industry we call bundling food plus wine, and you're sitting home on a Saturday night, and maybe you're not quite comfortable going to restaurants, but you can have the whole of Romer's experience, and we'll throw in a bottle of wine with your experience. It's been huge, and it's going to be huge going down the road. And at the end of the day, when people start coming back and actually filling seats, and I'd say we're about 85 to 90% inside right now, that's just going to be a growing business for us down the road.
I tell you, we have a local restaurant in Lanceville, and we found ourselves actually getting a Friday takeout food because they serve Bella Bubble, our favorite Naramata Bubble. They had it on the menu. I said, let's go for the, what do we, said, let's get a bottle of bubble. And what are we going to have with it? We reversed the order, but it worked out well. Now, in terms of the wineries, I noticed that the wineries that did really well, and they did exceptionally well, already had a net presence. They were viable. They were very much a part of the internet experience. And wineries that weren't, that were slow in the pickup, had struggled. Did that same thing happen with restaurants?
Your restaurant website has to be very, very consumer friendly, has to be current all the time. Your takeout, all that sort of stuff has to be very, very clear what you can get from an alcohol point of view, et cetera, et cetera. So we're definitely seeing people use that website takeout experience at a much more elevated level, including VQA BC Wine. Absolutely. Sure.
So, Ian, now the question becomes, what can we do, we, the consumer? How can we up our game? How can we make this year go well?
I think the first thing that we need to let your listeners know, Terry, is the gratitude that we have for the public to stay with us. And that was that relationship that we had. They trusted us.
Yeah.
And people like you put us in the media and we talked it through. And people said, you know what, I feel good about going to a restaurant. I am going to go to a restaurant. We had people like Kelly and Romer's, you know, making an experience safe. So that's the first starting point, is that we have that trust, and now it's up to us to invite the people back. And there's going to be several ways to use this. You know, we talked about that with patios, takeout, in-store dining experience, and we're going to deliver. And I actually believe now we sell health and safety as number one. That's our number one goal. Sure. And the rest of it will fall under that. We are going to be a little bit slow at times because we're under a massive labor shortage, and we're attacking that. In fact, any parents that have kids that are looking for a job, go knock on your favorite restaurant now, door and say, I want to get some experience. It's a great job. And then we just have to stay open and serve the public like we used to before the pandemic.
By the way, while I'm at it, how about the food services part? How are we doing with supply?
I think Kelly can answer that probably better than I, but.
The reality is we do a bundle of goods calculation. It's like our consumer price index, and incoming pricing of food is up 11% since last January. And that's why you're seeing, you know, a hamburger that's probably $2 more expensive than it was this time last year. Now we will think that's going to go away at some point in time when, you know, roads start to normalize. But, you know, we all know what gas prices are like these days, and that's part of the food problem as well. So the incoming costs, supplies, substitution of items, huge problem out there right now.
Hey, Kelly, one more thing. Ian, did you want to follow up?
No, that's good.
Okay. Your antennas are always fully up. I know, Kelly. I mean, you want to know about front door, you want to know about a hospital, you want to know about a turnover, you want to know the numbers at the end of the night, the week, the month, or whatever. Have we turned that corner? Do you feel in your heart of hearts that we might have survived these 2 years and we're moving forward?
Well, I know at my River District location, Terry, which you're well aware of, we just had our busiest January week in our history. And that was through Family Day. And I'll tell you, when the sun shines, people go crazy. They just, like today, I think it's -5. We got our full patio open and ready to go, and it'll be full. And so I think we've turned a corner for sure.
Okay.
As people start building confidence with outdoor dining experience, I think we're really, you know, I think June's going to be the big month for us when we start to see the weather turn and people finally realize that there is hope. And I think when that happens, it's just going to launch us into the best summer we've had in BC for a long time.
Thank you, Kelly Gordon, Romer's Extra Mile Hospitality. Ian Tostesen, we're talking about what can we do. How about what we don't want to do? How about not to do? You have to, you know, that little phrase, be kind. We as customers and clients, we have to be better. We have to be understanding. How do you get that message across?
I think that message did get across. It was really tough when we brought in masks. It was the Vax card, all those things. We're really experienced that right now. We'll take on any virus that comes in the future. Sure. I honestly mean that. But I think the public realizes that approach now, so many people are vaccinated. They're not aggravated as you want. There's a small group out there who cares about them, frankly. But 99% of the people that are coming to restaurants are great. I think that what I would say, the things that don't do is don't stay at home all the time. Go out and enjoy yourself. The psychology of this whole thing is just equally as important as get out and enjoy yourself. You can go in small little parts, maybe not go when it's busy if you're feeling uncomfortable, but get out and start to live life again. And if you want to go dancing, you still have to wear a mask at least for a couple more weeks. Figure that one out, right?
Yeah, figure that one out. Thank you guys for doing this. And let's check midsummer and see how things have worked out. I can't wait to hear good news. Kelly Gordon, president and partner of Extra Mile Hospitality, the owners of Romer's 3 locations, and Ian Tostenson, the president, CEO, good friend, BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. And what's Romer's website? Do you know it off the top of your head, Mr. Gordon?
Romersburgerbar.com. Check it out.
I will. Is there a fourth location coming? Perhaps on Vancouver Island? How about Vancouver Island?
The cows are there is actually, but I can't really let the cat out of the bag. So we're actually in the growth mode, which is really exciting.
Thank you.
That's very exciting.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations. Have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks, Terry.
Thank you for shaving, Ian. Thank you, everybody. That's Jason Moore Radio for this week.
You.
Take care. We're going to move this studio. We'll see you next week from Mill Bay. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info on the winter hours at Unsworth. The tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the restaurant is open from Thursday to Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. Sunday from noon to 4. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.